Welcome back to Creator Profiles with Comic Book Daily. This is David Deep, and today I'm speaking with Fred Van Lente, the writer of such works such as Action Philosophers. Thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to speak with us today, Fred.
Thanks for having me, David.
So I was curious, how did you make your break into the comic book industry?
Well, to paraphrase Ernest Hemingway, gradually then very quickly. I struggled in the independent world for about a decade. Just did a whole bunch of sort of independent science fiction books, did some humor books. I did some, I did a superhero crime series called The Silencers with a buddy of mine I went to college with named Steve Ellis, who today is better known for doing High Moon over at Zuda Comics. He and I did the series for Moonstone, which is a small independent outfit out of Chicago. We did that in 2003, and that got the notice of Mark Paniccia, who was an editor of Tokyopop at the time. I think Steve actually gave him a copy of the book at a convention somewhere, and he liked the book. And he, when he moved over to Marvel, he invited me to pitch for this anthology book they're doing, Amazing Fantasy, where I created the new female Scorpion. That was sort of my big Marvel debut. And at the same time, and totally coincidentally, another friend of mine from college, Ryan Dunleavy, and I had been doing these goofy educational—I hate calling them educational—these sort of edutainment philosophy comics called Action Philosophers, and we just got the self-publishing Zurich grant for that. And ironically, Action Philosophers number 1 and Amazing Fantasy number 7, which was my first issue, appeared on the same day in April, I think, of 2005. Ironically, I had broken my ankle, so I couldn't go to the store.
To do the signings kind of thing?
To see them, you know, on the racks there. and that kind of stunk. But Ryan, God bless him, went to Jim Hanley's Universe in Manhattan and took a cell phone photo of it. And, of course, because it was Action Philosophers and Amazing Fantasy. In most stores, they were racked next to each other. You know, cause so many stores alphabetize their titles by
right.
title.
So. That's a pretty good story you've got there for your debut
so
of comics.
I literally broke into the industry.
So, Action Philosopher, it reads like a comedic philosophy for dummies book. How did you come up with the idea for the book?
Ryan, like I said, Ryan and I were buddies from college. We'd been roommates briefly. And we used to go to the Small Press Expo, which is the small independent comics festival in Bethesda, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. And they used to do an anthology every year of submissions of people who showed up for the convention. And one year, the theme was biography, so they wanted you to do a short biography comic. So Ryan was going and I was going, so I decided to write one for him. And Steve Ellis and I had been sort of doing these goofy comics for the SPX up until that point, parodying different kinds of comics. And in fact, if you go to fredvanlenny.com, my website, you can actually see the comics Steve and I did. We did a parody of superhero comics called Right Wing, which was basically what if the GOP ran a superhero character. And we did a parody of
the Jack Chick stuff, I saw.
Exactly, the Jack Chick comics, and that we did that except for Great Cthulhu, the H.P. Lovecraft creation. So to sort of continue in that vein, another kind of comics I hadn't made fun of yet were the comics that used to get sort of bundled in with those Masters of the Universe, He-Man, the Masters of the Universe dolls, action figures, whatever. And so I thought it'd be funny if you bought a Friedrich Nietzsche action figure and this was the comic you got bundled in with the action figure. Hence the term Action Philosophers.
So it stemmed from the love of action figures, pretty much. Comic that came with the action figure.
Right. It stemmed from a love of making fun of comics.
How much research was involved in doing the project? You must have read like tons of books on these philosophers and understand their theories to compress it all into a few pages.
Yeah, I tried to not cheat. I tried not to, you know, look at textbooks and Wikipedia and all that kind of stuff. I have got, like, I'm not going to tell you which ones I scrimped on, but I've got like an 85% success rate of I read at least one book about that philosopher and at least one work by that philosopher. And you know, it would take a good 3 or 4 months just to do the research and the writing of each script. Fortunately, Ryan draws so slow.
I promise not to, you know, show this interview to him later on.
that No. He knows. He knows how slow he draws. You normally wasn't. It ended up not being a big deal. But no, it was terrific to sort of have this self-taught education in philosophy while doing the series. I think I learned as much, if not more, than the people who read it. So.
Yeah. What's your academic background in? Because you did a really good job of interpreting all these complex theories.
I am a proud graduate school dropout. I dropped out of the University of Pittsburgh. I was a year into my English Lit graduate program. I guess it was the master's program. The people were really nice. Just that you had to be a teaching assistant, and I was like a 22. I was just out of college, undergrad, where I got my degree in English Literature. And I did it more because my parents sort of wanted me to get a real job.
And so you became a comic book writer instead.
Well, what happened was is all the people I used to hang out with in undergrad were studying to be comic book artists, and Steve Ellis had gotten a lot of work at Marvel in DC, and I was pitching stuff through him, and we were becoming somewhat successful at it, so at least initially. And so I was like, screw this. This comics thing is easy. I'm quitting and moving to New York City to see my name in lights in comic books. And then, I bummed around for the next 8 years, basically, at various soul-crushing temp jobs. But I have a my background is in English literature, and I did quite a lot of that and did various papers and stuff.
Is this it for Action Philosophers? Are there any plans for future installments? You've covered almost everyone there is out there for the Western philosophy.
We've got a few more, and you will see them this fall, this November, from Evil Twin Comics, just in time for Christmas. The Action Philosophers Omnibus is coming out, a.k.a. the More Than Complete Action Philosophers, and it's more than complete because it's the entire series from beginning to end, revised and corrected, and we took the stories which kind of came out sort of randomly throughout history, and we put them in correct chronological order, so you get a history of philosophy from the pre-Socratics to Jacques Derrida.
Uh-huh.
So you literally go from prehistory to the 21st century, and there are four new stories in that collection that will never be seen anywhere else to trick you into buying the book.
Who are the four stories on?
Epicurus the Sage, Rumi, the great Islamic poet, William James, and who's the other one? Auguste Comte, whose name I'm sure I just totally destroyed for the pronunciation of.
You also did another series called Comic Book Comics. It was like a great miniseries you did about the history of comics.
Remember what I said about Ryan being really slow?
Yeah.
It hasn't actually completed yet. He's only drawing the fourth issue right now. In fact, during this interview, I may have to go over to his house and check and find out. But it's still chugging along. We're still getting there. We made it to the 60s, and we're going to make it all the way to the 21st century, god darn it.
So how come you decided to do a history of comics comic?
Well, partly for the simple reason that it's never been done before, and part of the reason it's never been done before is, I imagine, due to various legal copyright and trademark issues. Since Ryan and I don't have a pot to piss in, we don't really worry about anyone suing us. Also, we're doing it in a very satirical manner, so we actually can sort of hide behind the First Amendment in that sense, because parody is one of the exceptions, sort of depicting characters like Superman and Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man and everybody. We wanted to keep doing sort of humanities in comics form, but we sort of went through a bunch of different possibilities and ended up settling on this as the most fertile ground. And each issue is definitely sold more than Action Philosophers, believe it or not. So,
well, that's pretty impressive.
I guess we made the right choice.
You use so many sources for the book in your little bit bibliographies. It's just tons and tons of books. How did you even start researching everything? Where did you know there's this book, there's that book?
Well, I, since about 2002, even before my professional career started, I've been lucky enough to volunteer for an organization here in New York called the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art, or MOCA. And I curated a lot of their shows. I was chair of the curatorial committee, so I enjoyed sort of applying my knowledge of the medium to that. So I actually had a lot of the books and had a lot of the knowledge already. I certainly knew more about the subject when we started this than I knew about philosophy when we started Action Philosophers. So I already had amassed a fairly vast comics and cartoon art history library. And I've used books in the museum's collection and just sort of enhanced my knowledge that way. So it was definitely a subject I had some knowledge of before beginning the series.
So you're almost like you're pretty much a comic book historian of sorts at this point.
I guess, you know, if they interview me for a documentary, they can put that, you know.
Put that on all your business cards too?
I prefer conspiracy theorist. I like that better. That's the classic unpaid, undocumented, unlicensed investigator / historian.
Right, right. So when you're at Marvel, you pretty much jumped on the scene with Amazing Fantasy, and then you've pretty much become pretty well known for your work on Incredible Hercules with Greg Pak, where you're listed as the co-author with him?
Yep, he and I write each other, issue together.
How does the co-writing system work usually it's just, you know, the artist and the writer. Writer turns out the ideas for the artist to put down. So when there's two writers, how does it work for scripting?
Well, neither Greg or I had ever co-written anything before. So when I was asked to sort of help, it was essentially I was asked to help Greg out because this series started when Greg was still in the middle of doing the huge World War Hulk event. And so he sort of needed a pinch hitter. And we ended up sort of hitting it off very well right off the bat. And we just sort of decided, because he and I had never met each other before, we'd never worked not only with each other before, we'd never worked with anybody else for that matter, co-writing. So I guess sort of, you know, good fences make good neighbors. We literally wrote, one of us would write half the issue and send it to the other one, and then he would write the second half. And then we'd sort of pass it back and forth, and eventually you'd get this single voice that's different than his voice and different than my voice, but it's the voice of Incredible Hercules, and we managed to retain that through the whole run of the series.
Right, because like, Incredible Hercules is probably one of the better written Marvel titles coming out at the moment, so it's interesting that you guys write half of it, send it to the other guy, and he sends it back to you?
Yes. We've been a little, that hasn't quite, we've kind of done it, it hasn't been quite as dogmatic as that recently, just because of our various schedules. Sometimes he and I take on sort of specific issues, but generally that's how it's worked.
Right. Speaking of Marvel stuff, lately you've been writing all the Marvel Zombies The Return books. Like, you wrote Marvel Zombies 4... You just wrote The Return, so are we expecting to see like a 5 and 6 coming out at this point?
You know, those zombies, they're hard to kill. They're hard to keep down. They just keep getting back up again.
Right. But when you're writing the Marvel Zombies books, you pretty much have the entire Marvel sandbox to play with. You have access to all the characters just in their zombie form. Any characters you'd like to write, you know, unzombified?
Well, I really enjoyed writing Machine Man from Marvel Zombies 3. He's a terrific character and sort of a perfect zombie killer. I love writing all the monster characters in Marvel Zombies 4. That was sort of the most fun of that to me, was take all those great 70s Marvel characters like Jennifer Kale and Jack Russell and Morbius and merge them with the incredibly successful Marvel Zombies series. I guess with the exception of Tomb of Dracula, you could probably say that it is the most successful Marvel horror franchise.
What's the hardest thing to deal with when you're writing established characters in the Marvel Universe? You know, they've got these long, winding backstories from years and years of continuity.
Well, you know, one of the things they teach you in creative writing school class is that when you're writing characters, you want there to be a sense that this character has this life outside your story, that he just didn't, or she didn't just magically appear in the story and does whatever he or she is doing, then vanishes again. You want to feel like that they have lives, that they go to the store, that they have hopes and dreams, and so on and so forth. And continuity, which is often maligned, and often for very good reason, is a really good way to give characters that sense of backstory and that sense of purpose. You know, I mean, the obvious thing I can just think of off the top of my head, because we were just talking about it, was I had Machine Man be the hero of Marvel Zombies 3, Aaron Stack. And what's great about Aaron Stack is he used to have this relationship with Jocasta, this other robot. So I was able to sort of just, you know, take that and immediately think, ah, well, Jocasta will go along with him, and that's why he goes, and that motivates the reason he'd stick his neck out for the human race against the zombie plague. So you have to make continuity your friend. You can't let... I guess the simplest way to say it is you can't be a slave to continuity. You have to make continuity serve you.
Right. Current series, stuff from Marvel, DC, Independence, what are you reading?
You know, I don't get to read a lot of comics, unfortunately. I spend all day working on them, so it's very hard for me to sit down and say, I'm going to read some superhero comics now. Generally speaking, I watch sports.
Really?
Really. I get as far away from comics as possible. But that said, I really enjoyed Asterius Pullup, the new book from David Mazzucchelli. I'm really enjoying anything Johnny Ryan does. I really love The Hunter, the adaptation by the Parker adaptation by Darwin Cook was terrific.
Did you read the latest Johnny Ryan book, Prison Pit?
Oh, I haven't. I've got to. Is that out from Fantagraphics?
Yep.
Awesome.
What advice would you give for someone who wants to break into writing comic books?
The only way I can really do it is, or the only way I can really recommend it is the way I did it, and to a certain extent, it's the way Fraction did it, and Bendis did it, and a lot of other, you know, writers did it. We made our own comics. We come from the independent world, so it's very hard today to get an editor to look at simply a pitch or an outline or a script. They want to see a comic. They want to see that you've already proven that you can. Tell a story, and you can tell a story in comics, and to a certain extent that you've already, you know, paid your dues working your way up to the industry. So that would be my, that to me would be my advice. Chummy up to the best artists you can find and produce a great comic together.
Well, sounds like sound advice. Well, thanks for all your time today, Fred. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Awesome, David. Thanks a lot.